This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.incarnationcc.org. We thank you for listening. The following homily was preached on Wednesday, August 28, 2024. The Memorial of St. Augustine of Hippo by Father William Doc Holliday.
May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, Holy Ghost.
Amen.
His last words of the Gospel. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. Very common theme. An uncommon example of that theme is St. Augustine. St. Augustine is an exemplary saint, exemplary in both the good and the bad. We look at these extremes in his life, and I can't really think of any better that presents to us what a person is like when they're prideful and a person is like when they're humble. Pride is the root of absolutely every sin that we can commit. You name your sin, it can be rooted in pride. That does not make your confessions easier. Go in and just say, I confess pride. It's how did pride manifest itself? Because it manifests itself in all different kinds of ways. But there are subcategories of pride that we need to deal with. We need to be aware of them. The first is, and this is our human nature, self-indulgence. Self-indulgence. What I want. This is what started everything in the Garden of Eden. This whole venture into sin started with pride, which is part of our being. It's part of our nature. I always point out, when you talk about pride, it's not a matter of just saying, pride is bad. You take pride in the way you present yourself. You take pride in the fact that your house is clean. That's a good pride, and that's part of our being. Well, unfortunately, our beings have this tendency to not perform so much the good part of it, and that's the negative part of it. Eve. Has God really said? Yeah, he really did say. Oh, that fruit sure looks good. That fruit, and her pride. I want it. I want it. And the more I think about how much I want it, the less I think about how much God has prohibited me eating it, and I do it anyway. Bingo. And then it's like throwing gas on the fire of the pride of all her progeny, us. This is self-indulgence. We got to worry about that. Be aware of it. There is a pride in intelligence. Well, self-indulgence kind of leads us to believe how smart we are. Nobody can tell us any different because we're so intelligent. St. Augustine is a manifestation of this. Kind of backtrack a little bit. He's a manifestation of self-indulgence because a man for 30 years of his life, he was a hot mess spiritually. False religion, immorality, illegitimate son. We don't hear about that part of Saint Augustine. We quote him all the time and everything. He's a super saint. But before he became a super saint, he had this going on. He was self-indulgent. His intelligence, he was a brilliant guy. Absolutely brilliant. And he knew it. And nobody could tell him anything, especially his mom. His mom, Saint Monica of yesterday's memorial, cries for years and years and years and tries to convince him, come on, mom, I've gone to schools. I know rhetoric. I learned from these guys. That's silly, this Catholicism thing's ridiculous. Why was it ridiculous? Because it encroached on his self-indulgence. So you see how these work together. His self-indulgence, and I'll just pick a religion that allows me to do what I want to do, Manichaeanism, and he takes that ball and runs with it. Because nobody can tell me what to do. I'm Augustine. Since I've been a child, I got to go to the best schools and everything because everybody knew how smart I was. This is him. Which leads, and this is an interesting category right here, theologically. Everybody's got an opinion on theology. theology, the word theology, the study of God, the science of God. Why is it the only science that everybody thinks their opinion is valid? It is truly a science. You have an object that you study, God. You have a form in which you're going to study. What part and aspect of God am I going to study? And then there's a method to that study. What did God say? What have people thought? What is it? How does this work out? Does this contradict this? It's a science. It's a science, but everybody thinks they have their own. What other science do you think for a moment people would look at and go, oh, it's my opinion? Like you go to your doctor. Yeah, you got this and you better start doing this or you could die. I don't think so. Nobody does that. Well, some, yeah, I'm sure there's something. If somebody does that, that's the height of pride. But somebody does that. But people don't do that. That's why you go to a doctor, because you know your opinion on your health really doesn't hold a lot of weight. Go to somebody who's gone to school for years and years and years and practice medicine. But theology, no. Everybody gets it. You Catholics, you worship Mary and you do it. No, we don't. Yes, you do. Pastor Bob told me all you did. My mom always told me you did it. Does your mom and Pastor Bob, you know, where did they get it? Where do their studies go? That doesn't make it. You're not supposed to study. It's the Holy Spirit. Yeah, okay. Okay. It's theology. It's a science. But again, it's pride. Why do we have so many religions? Why do we have so many Christian denominations? Why? Pride. Pride. That's it. This is St. Augustine before. Prideful. His theology was messed up. He was self-indulgent, and he thought he was too smart for his own good. Then humility comes. Bingo. Everything changes. He is a very smart guy, and he starts getting confronted by people that are as smart as him and going, hey, you ever think about this? You're living contradictory. If there's really a God, he's the one who says what you do, not yourself. And you're like, because he was a smart guy, like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So all of a sudden, the self-indulgence goes out the window. And then, I'm not as smart as I thought I was. Come into grips with that. And then his theology changes, and he becomes a Catholic. So it's not he ate a piece of humble pie. St. Augustine ate the whole thing. He's got to deal with it himself. Man, I thought I was so smart, walking around here for 33 years thinking that I was so darn smart, and now I got to admit to everybody I'm not. So he's got to admit to himself, humble pie. He's got to go to his mom, that simple little woman who just cried all the time about him. He's got to go to her and go, Mom, you were right the whole time. And then he's got to humiliate himself in front of the church and be baptized at 33 years old. Which baptism is a sign that you didn't belong before. You were the religious guy, the Manichaean guy, taught everybody all these false things, and now you're being baptized and you're a neophyte. Now, learn your faith. That's humility. Take my word for it. It can happen. 50 years old, half a century. Man, at least he was 33 years, I was 50 years old. But, some of it, I'm not as smart as St. Augustine, okay? I'll admit it. But I mean, humble pie. I ate a big old chunk. I ate the whole thing. Talking to people, my family, and everything to prove it. Yeah, I was wrong. This is what we have to deal with. This is humility. Humility. He is the prime example. It is interesting. This is a segue into the more pertinent subject matter of the night. St. Augustine, this man who was humbled, he becomes, in his humility, the St. Augustine that we hear about, like, all the time around here. I don't think of it. There's hardly a mass that goes by. There's never more than a couple weeks when St. Augustine said this, St. Augustine said that. Why did that happen? Because of his humility. The homily that he did is in the Roman Breviary under the Commons of a Dedication of a Church. As I said, segue into our subject matter for today. In the Commons of Dedication of a Church, at the beginning of his homily, St. Augustine says, "Whatsoever takes place on the altar or in the temple is a manifestation of what is in our souls, if indeed our souls are holy and righteous." So, succinctly, in a nutshell, in our terms, that kind of sounded churchy. The church and the altar are the outward manifestation of what we bring to the table. Every single Mass, what you bring to the table is what you will get out of it. You will receive more graces if you are attentive at Mass than if you are inattentive at Mass. You can't help but to be in the place with Jesus and not get something out of it, even if you're not paying attention. But you will get a whole lot more if you are attentive while you're in here. You come in here, you bring your attention to the table, your devotion, your willingness to pray, your intents. All of these things are manifest on the altar and in this church in a real sense. It's objective. What you see, what you hear done, it all has a profound meaning. Everything that the priest wears, the way he faces up here, the actions that he performs with his hand, every single one of them, they have a deep, profound rationale. Everything. And St. Augustine tried to make this point. What goes on in the church, particularly at the altar, is real. Okay, so when we talk about dedication of a church building, pray God, I'm around to see it. When the bishop comes here to consecrate the new church, that will be something to see. If you've never seen one of those before, be prepared. Bring a lunch because it takes a long time. It's very, very ritualistic. Why? Because of what it is. Why do churches exist? To keep the Blessed Sacrament safe and dry. You know, it doesn't matter if it's a small place like this or St. Peter's Basilica. They are there to keep the Lord safe and dry. Some of them just look a whole lot nicer when it does it. But that's the reason that they exist. And to celebrate Mass in there. This is the reality of what goes on in a church, and we have to understand that. So, generally, I have the practical applications in there in a more general sense because most people, okay, you're this and you're that, you're dealing with that, you're dealing with that. But we're all dealing with this whole church thing, and the whole presentation after Mass tonight. We're going to talk about people who have been chomping at the bit for some details. We got a bunch of details for you now. Those details cannot be taken in a, okay, we had Mass and then we talked about the new church. It's got to be like this. It's got to be like that. The new church is, as St. Augustine, it's going to be a manifestation of what we as a congregation bring to the table. It cannot be tainted as best we can with pride. We cannot be self-indulgent when we build this church. We have to use prudence and reason and not what we think is good, using our own intelligence. Okay, we need to use proper theology when we're talking about building the church. That's why what you will see and what you will hear about today, it's why it's designed the way it was, it's why it costs as much as it does, because these things were taken into a tremendous amount of consideration. The design of the church. We're trying to cost cut and doing this. There are some things that were negotiable. Believe you me, you'll hear about them. There is a lot of things that were negotiable that we get. Okay, I'd really like that, but. And there were other. Well, you'd really save a lot of money if you took this out. No, because why? It looks like you just want to be different. Yes. I want it to look different than other buildings around here, okay? I want it to look like a church. That's theology. It presents something of who we are, what we do. Designs like that, they're costly. That's why we had to eat humble pie in a lot of meetings and go, you ought to do this. We can't afford it. Or we go, hey, we want to do this. You can't afford that. Okay, humility. Well, live and learn. But it turned out really, really nice. Holy Spirit knows what he's doing. There's a third thing. Again, when I talk about the cause before, I made mention at a meeting when we first started this about a year ago-ish, and I said, this is not going to be $10 extra in the on your tithe check. That ain't happened. I didn't cut it. That is not going to cut it. We're talking charity here. The first reading today, I do not like the new versions of the scripture when it comes up. Like, who am I to say I don't like them? I just find them somewhat deficient in their, the first reading today. Love, 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 and love, 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 and love, and everybody love, and if you love your brother and love it, and I'm not being pejorative about that. And God is love. That is very visceral in English when you hear it. It's like, okay, yeah, okay. God is love. Well, it means God likes it if it makes you happy. Because God is love, and that must mean that he loves me, and I like that, so, hey, that all works together. No, it doesn't. Charity is the word, because in the older versions, you read that, there are some times when it says love, and there are other times when it says charity, charitas, self-giving, okay? And it doesn't say God is love, it says God is charity, God is charitas. You see that first and foremost when you look at a crucifix. When you look at a crucifix, that shows how much God loves you. That ain't Hallmark. That's not emotion. That's doing something because you love someone. The same thing is going to have to step up when it comes to this whole church thing. It's going to be difficult to get what we need to get. That's charity. God is charity. So you go, well, I'm not doing that because, you know, how would you like if God had said that? Well, I'm not sending my son down there. They could spit on him and put a crown of thorns on, nail him to a cross. I'm not going to do that. Then you don't go to heaven. We want to go to heaven. And like St. Augustine says, we start manifesting that by what we do in church. So it ought to be nice, but it's going to cost and it's going to be painful to pay for it. But nonetheless, Holy Spirit will provide, and I'll give you some anecdotes how he proves this. Nonetheless, in the gospel today, whoever shall exalt himself shall be humbled. Whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. They said in the planning and design of this, that we had to humble ourselves a little bit. But if we keep our hearts right, and we approach this with charitas, charity, the Lord may exalt this to be maybe not the biggest place around here, guarantee you that one. Maybe not the biggest, but it may be the holiest place around here. In the name of the Father, and the Son, Holy Ghost.
Amen.